a myth, a misconception, whatever you want to call it. If you own an iOS device, I'm sure you come across a few of those. That's what Chet and Gary talk about today. Let's go! Morning, Chet. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, there's a lot of myths out there about iOS and iPhones and iPads, and do you like to do a little Mythbusters today?
Sure, why not? I think that's a great idea. We can bust all the myths and get everybody straightened out.
Yeah, Mythbusters. That's a tongue twister for me, but anyway. Let's start with iOS devices. They don't get viruses, do they?
Well, that all depends. Technically, they can get viruses, but they're a little bit harder to catch than off of some of the other devices that are around. One of the things I think is interesting is what's going on in Europe right now with the EU, and they're forcing Apple to allow non-Apple app sources to be used and allow people to load apps from non-Apple app stores, which sounds like a really great thing because Apple's monopoly is broken, but then you don't have the control over what you're loading.
Right.
So that's one of the biggest sources for myths is you're putting software on your phone or on an iPad that didn't come through Apple and you don't know what's in that. So can they get a virus? Yes. Is it easy to catch a virus? No. You can't simply get a virus by opening an email, for example.
Right. And if you stay within the Apple ecosystem, you're relatively
safe. You're very safe. As safe as you can be. Right. Let's put it that way.
What about the common one that if you close all your background apps, it saves the battery?
Yeah, that's interesting. Battery management on Apple is really good. One of the things about this is that if you have the apps running in the background, they take very little power. To start the app up takes a significant amount of power while it starts up and reconnects to all the sources and everything. So the story is, or the theory on this is, that the startup is more consuming of power than letting it sit in the background and do nothing. Now, my only concern on this is that I found that when people are having problems on a phone, it may be because they have a lot of things running in the background. Apple says, in theory, you never have to go close them. Everything should be fine. It should manage itself. But I have found some applications don't play nice. Mm-hmm. And what happens is all of a sudden you'll go to open up an application and the screen doesn't look right or something else. And if you close the background apps, it frees up memory and the problem goes away. But generally, from a battery-saving standpoint, no, you're not saving anything by closing the apps down in the background.
And some of these apps, like Maps, has to run in the background.
Some of those things you do want running in the background, yes. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is, with some applications, weather and Maps are a couple of good examples. Mm-hmm. You want them to always have access to your GPS location data.
Right. Or you're going to get weather for San Francisco.
Yes.
What about the, now I haven't heard too much about this one, but what about the that cases for your iPhone causes it to overheat?
Yeah, I think that's just that people look at these cases and some of them fit very tightly around and completely enclose the iPhone. And I think they're just looking at them and saying, well, you know, that's like putting a blanket around it and it should be keeping the heat in. But there's no evidence that I know of that it actually does cause it to overheat. If your iPhone's getting hot, something else is causing the problem. Usually there's an application that's broken that's running in the background or something that shouldn't be, or there's a communication channel that isn't working right, and it's running continuously in the background. That's where the heat's coming from.
Yeah, there seems to be enough cutouts on a case that it's not going to be a heating issue, overheating issue.
Yeah. And that most of the cases are not thermally isolating anyway.
What about, how about this one? Letting your battery drain fully is good.
Well, you know, there was a point in time we had the nickel cadmium batteries.
Mm-hmm.
They developed a memory, and this idea kind of comes from that point. And the memory that it developed was the recharge point. So if you let it drain down halfway all the time and then you recharge it from halfway, then it only thought it had half the battery to work with. It didn't realize it had a whole battery to work with. But that was that chemistry of battery. Modern lithium ion batteries do not have a memory problem. Modern lithium ion batteries have a cycle issue where there's a recommended number of cycles, maximum cycles, like 500 cycles. Mm-hmm. A cycle is full power to empty, back to full power. So if you let the battery drain completely and then recharge it, that's a cycle. And if you let it drain halfway down and then charge it, that's half a cycle. So it's better to recharge it and just kind of keep it topped off, because that reduces the number of cycles required to keep it up and running, and that seems to be a better environment.
Would you suggest that they our members use the 80% battery charge on the software?
There's a lot of controversy about whether that actually buys you anything or not. Apple has started to do that with the latest versions of iOS, setting that, and sometimes your phone will charge to 80%, sometimes it'll charge to 100, and you can force it to always charge to 100. There's a setting that you can turn off that says I want it to always charge.
Right.
In theory, what they're worried about is that the chemistry in the battery physically changes as it acquires a charge. It changes the chemistry. And if you charge to 100% of the battery, the real 100% of the battery, then it runs out of room in the chemistry to actually allow it to change, and that causes it problems. But when you look at the way that most manufacturers set their batteries, you see it going to 100%, but the manufacturer, Apple in this case, has said, well, when you see 100%, it's actually only going to 90%, right, or something like that. They're keeping some
space.
And the same thing on the bottom end, it doesn't go all the way to zero, it goes down close to zero, and then they cut you off, so it doesn't go all the way to the bottom. So you're usually safe going to 100%. Some people think if they go to 80%, their batteries will last longer, and that works fine. If 80% is enough of a charge during the day, it doesn't matter.
Here's one. Force quitting apps improves performance. Now, I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, I think that has to do with the fact that people are worried about the amount of storage that's occupied in the device. As more things are running in the background, you have less memory available because every one of those things in the background is taking up a little bit of memory. So there's that. But as far as performance goes, performance is how many things have to be serviced by the processor during any period of time. Things that are sleeping in the background are not taking up any amount of processor in modern computers at all. So I don't think it makes a performance difference. As I said before, though, if you're having problems and something isn't working right, first line of defense is to close down everything running in the background and see if your problem goes away.
Here's the last one, and we can testify that this is false for sure, because here it is. iOS devices only last 2 to 3 years. Now, some of our members are probably still on iPhone 8, so.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like to point out to people that it isn't 2 to 3 years that's the issue, that it's more a case of about 6 years, and it has to do with the software upgrades that occur, that the CPU chips, the actual processing computer chips that are in the phone or the iPad, get to the point where they can't accept newer versions of software. The newer versions of software require changes to those chips. When you reach that point, that seems to be out around 6 years, is when you start to see that. What will normally happen is you'll get a message that says, In order to access our new bank website, you will need the latest version of the browser. Please update your browser. You go to the browser page and it says, oh, you can't update the browser because you need a new version of the operating system. You go to the operating system update and it says, oh, you can't put the new version on that old phone. So eventually you get to the point where things stop working because the services at the other end change on you. And that's where the problem comes in. But 2 to 3 years, no, absolutely not. iPhones and iPads will last well beyond that. Like I said, they'll operate way beyond 6 years. I haven't ever seen one that actually quit. It's the fact the software won't run on it any longer that's the issue.
You won't be able to do as many things on it.
That's right. It begins to get tired and fade away.
Of course, I'll never get to that 2 to 3 years. So that's, Okay, so that covers about all the myths that we busted today. We want to talk a little bit about the meeting Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
Well, we're going to talk about some interesting things at the meeting. One of the things I'm going to go over is what should you do if you lose your iPhone?
Oh, okay.
And I think is kind of interesting about this was I put together the slides to talk about that and got all that put together and then found out that somebody lost an iPhone.
Oh.
So I didn't put it together because I found out they lost an iPhone. I actually had it all put together first. But just kind of talk about some things like what should you do to make sure you're prepared in the event you lose your iPhone? When we look at modern iPhones today, my iPhone unlocks my car and authorizes me to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
If I lose my iPhone, I can't drive my car.
Right.
We got iPhones that unlock front doors. If you lost your iPhone, you can't get into your house all of a sudden. So are there things that you should do in preparation for a situation like this? Losing an iPhone is going to be traumatic.
Sure.
No matter how you face it. So we're going to go over what you do, what seems to be the best approach to use in the event that you do lose an iPhone. How should you handle things?
And that's in addition to some little exercises with photos.
Yes, we're going to go through photos and we're going to talk about photos. Why it's a good idea to have photos in iCloud, where we put them, what are the benefits to that, what are the downsides if you're not using that, and how in the world can you actually take some photos and put them into a Keynote is what we're going to take a look at, and actually form a little book in Keynote that you could share with people. You can export it as a PDF and send it to other people, and they can look at it or print it if they want to. So things like that, how in the world does all that work, and how beneficial is that?
Sounds great. That's two really good subjects. I'm interested in that. So yeah, I hope everybody can make it this Wednesday, the 13th. We'll be in the Veterans Theater as usual, 1 to 3.
1 to 3, yeah.
just be sure, let's see, this last week, Apple came out with a new software update, 17.4, so be sure you're updated for any table exercises that we have. And make sure, I hope you have a Photos app.
Yes.
On your phone. Bring your membership card when you come, and all the good stuff. So we hope to see you there Wednesday. And with that, Jet, we'll call it a day.
All right, sounds good to me.
Goodbye,
Chet. Did we bust all the myths?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Goodbye, Chet.
Goodbye, Chet.